So I was on the coach on the phone last night with a high school baseball coach here in town, and while we were on the phone, I noticed that the state of North Dakota has canceled their American Legion season. That's a big deal up in North Dakota. I think American Legion baseball is paused. I don't think it's been canceled here, but now that spring sports has been canceled, I was just asking, is there any way to salvage? Is there any way to have some ball this summer? And this coach was like everybody else, I don't know. We would love to. We would try. So with that said, again, this is just an open forum for coaches, parents, seniors. You can share your stories. We'll recognize you on air, either via email, George or Gary at 1620thezone.com, or by phone, 951-1620. Gary emails the show. It was a wake-up kick to the nuts for my son. It all started on Sunday, March 1st. Hockey team was eliminated from the playoffs the night before. After 60-plus games, my son made the mistake of taking his foot off the gas in the last game of the year. He was just going through the motions, bad move. Grade 2 AC joint separation. Uncomfortable. In fact, it hurt like heck. It hurt a lot less than having to call his high school baseball coach to tell him what happened. Coach was pleased as heck, as you can imagine. Of course, he had to polish that blank by assuring the coach it was a non-throwing shoulder. Every high school baseball team in the state had tryouts starting on Monday, March 2nd. He was in a sling on Monday after getting patched up by Doc Hutton at Nebraska Ortho. Tuesday, he took the sling off to pitch, took some infield and some fly balls. When he got home, I could see in his eyes it hurt like heck, but had to do it. Over the next 2 weeks, I spent $1,200 patching Humpty Dumpty back together at the physical therapist so he could get back behind the plate and play ball. Reality set in for him. We all knew it was coming, just didn't want to hear it. Spring sports are done. Went from feeling sorry for himself to feeling sorry for his older senior buddies who were able to put together an amazing season and win a state championship. And then, even more amazingly, were able to follow it up by winning the Legion championship with a target on their back. Now they don't have a chance to defend their championship. Most of those kids are done. Next time they put on a glove will be when they are teaching their kids how to catch a ball 10 to 20 years from now. When they do get back to playing, I assure you, my son won't take it for granted. Gary, thanks for the email. Emails like that, phone calls, more than welcome. Doesn't have to be today. It can be all next week. It could be for a while. Coaches, parents, seniors, you can share your story. Share your emotions right here on The Gary Sharp Show. Let's welcome in Brian Christofferson from Husker 24/7 BC. Good Friday. How are you, sir?
I'm doing all right. How are you?
Not bad. Something you've done this week that you would normally do or has been on your list to get done for many, many months and many, many years?
That I wouldn't normally do?
Yeah.
Dust. I've dusted in the house. That's kind of a kind of an upset. I've been cooking a lot more, getting pretty good at it, if I do say so. I'm becoming a little bit more domesticated.
Nice. Well, and I think we all are. I mean, I never knew that you could clean closets like I've cleaned closets.
Yeah, I've spent a lot of time in my shed and garage, and that's like clinging a whistle. You could go like just set your food down on it. I'm not saying we should do that right now, but you could.
Hey, what's your sense? And again, we don't know. We've got the world's best scientists are working on this. There is no, sports, there's no immunity for this when it comes to sports. But football continues to be the engine, whether it be in the NFL, which would probably be a lot easier to come back, less red tape than college football. But what's your sense as you listen, and in the last segment I said, well, you had the Kirk Herbstreit all the way to the optimism of Dabo Swinney today, and in between you have the SEC athletic directors that are looking at the bottom line, that instead of looking at the big picture, they're thinking, we got to have football because every time I open my stadium, that's $12 million. What's your general feel of the last week on the optimism towards having something in the fall?
Well, I think my first take is everybody's guessing. Mm-hmm. That's the first thought. But I do think the bottom line almost always wins out. What makes it difficult in this situation is this is so unprecedented that the normal thoughts we have about how certain things would get handled sort of go out the window. I mean, if there's still a lot of concern about, you know, we can't even be in groups of more than 10 in like early July, you kind of figured it's hard pressed that they're necessarily going to play in the fall. But I do think somehow, some way, there's going to be football. That, I mean, if everybody's playing that guessing game, so I guess I'll just jump in, because I think the ADs, as you mentioned in the question, see the ramifications of if there's not, this is a setback for many years, and in some cases it's going to delete smaller programs within an athletic department. It might just completely wipe out some smaller football programs at certain levels. And so I think at the end of the day, that's going to speak loudly, and somehow they're going to get something done, whether that's the games are just on TV or what, I don't know. Or whether it's even moving the games to the spring, which I know has been thrown out there. And at this point, all these ideas that in the past you would have said, well, that's out there, you're a Looney Tune for suggesting that, there's no such thing as that right now, because it's about scrapping for financial survival in a lot of these cases. And I think you're seeing some coaches take pay cuts and stuff like that, which is not only probably decent PR, but it's also maybe just a necessity at some places.
This is
something you never really could get your head around. So we're kind of just evolving with the process here and trying to think through things we've never had to before.
Is there a date in your mind? I keep saying, I think, and I'm being really optimistic, and it's still far off, and you know, there could be sports before then, but I think July 4th is a key day. I think that could be an incredible day in this country. But is there a date, like if you're looking at from the college football angle, and BC, be an athletic director here, is there a certain date that you have to see the light at the end of the tunnel to make a decision on the fall? I mean, because how far do you go before you go, uh-oh, this may not happen?
Well, you about nailed it probably with that date. That's got to be near the end of when you could decide, I think, because, you know, you're talking about getting kids on campus. You know, if they play in the fall, some kids might have to get on campus that are on teams while other students aren't on campus. So there could be that decision that has to be made. If universities are still staying online in the fall, which I suspect is a real possibility, you know, you're going to have to make a move, which will be maybe controversial in some circles, to have student athletes come back onto campus and kind of go about their business. And so I would think you would have to, with all the details that go into something like that, know by about early July at the latest, if you're going to proceed as the schedule has it right now on the calendar with stuff. That's going to be so fascinating. I think it gets really interesting in about a month. I think for now, there's sort of this holding pattern where we're waiting to see what the effects are of everybody, most people, distancing themselves, and where we stand sort of at the end of April. I mean, this is going to be a long 2 weeks, especially, and I think it's just going to be a long month of waiting, and you're going to see a lot of depressing news during that time, and there's going to be a lot of people during that depressing news that are going to declare, well, they're not doing anything in this country for a year or something. I don't think that's going to happen, but you're going to hear that, because you're just going to see depressing headline after depressing headline. And but I think the key is, when we come out of it in May, where are we standing? And I think then you have to have some serious talk if there's been good progress on this front or not. And, you know, the guys in the lab have a lot to do with this, too. I mean, if they come up with tests that are easily accessible and quick in a few months' time, that you know, athletes and everybody can get a hold of, you know, maybe that's a game changer, too. So there's all these things that are at play. And you got to also put it in perspective. It is sports, and there are bigger things. But it's
you know, sports is significant too. I don't want to. It's not life or death, but it. We so much of us is a lot of us are we connect with it in a certain way. It goes back to our childhood and our families, and it's how you come together with friends and family. So I don't want to ever undersell, and I don't think most people do, how big a deal it is when they get back playing again. And I think there's going to be an explosion for sports when it happens like you've never seen. I think people, maybe we even took some things for granted. I think things like the state tournament next year, God willing, is going on as planned. I think you'll see huge crowds for it and stuff like that. I just think it's going to be completely different.
Well, and I think, and I agree with you. There's a key date as well when it comes to an athletic department, and that would be when the fiscal year you get going on July 1, when you got to start thinking about cuts and, you know, maybe people that you said, hey, we're good through June, but then July 1. But you're right. We're gonna start to have victories in this country, and they're going to be from the world's smartest people that are scientists that are working on this. Those victories are going to come. But when we do get to the fall, I mean, just imagine, whether you're a football fan or not, some things are still giving us hope that they have not canceled, but they postponed. Look what the fall could be like in this country when it comes to sports. We're now 23 days without sports, and we miss it. Some of us miss it even more every day that goes by. But think about what the fall could be like in this country when it comes to our world of sports.
Yeah.
I mean, one event after another, after hour after hour after hour.
Yeah, it'll be insane. If there is a somewhat a feeling of normalcy, even if the crowds aren't part of it in some cases, it's going to be just like nothing we've ever seen before. If it all comes back at the same time, if suddenly like the Masters is saying, hey, we're playing in, I don't even know the dates that have been thrown out. I'm sure there's somewhere out there, but you know, I could assume the Masters will want to get something in. Maybe that's happening during college football games are going on, and the Kentucky Derby's going on. And I mean, it's just going to be an avalanche of things. And I think it'll be a pick me up when people see that. There's no doubt about it. But you got to be smart about it, and you can't rush it back too soon. And delay yourself even further. And I think that's what this all comes down to. It's like everybody wants this today to be normal, but it can't be. And you got to understand that by, you know, doing what we've done this spring, and hopefully people are distancing themselves in a good way this month as best they can, that sets us up to get back to normal sooner than later. But yeah, it's going to be it'll be an incredible time when it does come back, and I think it'll be emotional for a lot of people that they won't even realize how emotional it's going to be when it comes back, and things that you just always kind of accepted as the usual are going to maybe have a little more meaning, and maybe that's the silver lining of the whole thing.
Hey, this time away, when it comes to the particular football team, what are the pros and cons of having an interruption when it comes to trying to figure out who's going to be your starting quarterback?
I think the interruption favors the guys who have returning starting experience, don't you? I mean, that's just my surface level reaction to it. Like, I think it becomes harder for guys who are down on the depth chart or young players to make a push when they didn't have the spring. And then let's just go with the hypothetical that they say, okay, you can start practices up in mid or late July. You have a few extra ones maybe. And the season was going on as normal. Let's just say that's the case. It's going to be tough, I think, for some coaches to maybe buy into like, okay, we're going to play this redshirt freshman or second year guy more snaps this close up against the season. You know, when you have the spring and you have time to kind of, it's still 6 months away and a guy has a good 10, 15 practices there, that gives you another few months to kind of think about it, go over his film and stuff, and you kind of get your mind around the idea like, yeah, we're going to play these young guys. They're ready for it. I do think it gets harder if everything just butts right up against the season like it might, mm-hmm. To do that. But you know what? We've talked about it before, I think, but in some ways, there are certain spots where this could be a problem for Nebraska. Like what happens at wide receiver where you have so many young guys who they haven't got those extra practices yet. Maybe some of those guys get on campus in the summer that weren't here in the spring, and it's actually beneficial to them because they didn't miss any time and they get those extra practices. But the one good thing for Nebraska, they return their entire offensive line. And in a year when if things are hurried and you got to kind of have simplify everything, this game always comes down to the trenches. But more so than ever, I think it's going to be about who has the big boys up front that can just mash and, win with simplistic football in some ways. And Nebraska's O-linemen have been clear. There are no excuses. They yep. are all back, and they should be good. And so here you go. I mean, the challenge, multiply it by 10 now.
Last night, I know you've watched it before, but did you watch any of USC-Texas, the replay on ESPN?
I didn't watch it last night, but... that game to me still registers as it might be the top game I've ever watched. I mean, just the way it twisted and turned, and Reggie Bush and Vince Young at that year, that was one of the toughest Heisman votes I mm-hmm. think ever, because they were so talented at the college level, some of the best we've seen actually at the college level. And sometimes I think people forget how ridiculously good Reggie Bush was as a college yep. player. I mean, he was like one of the top five college players I've ever seen, and I don't think that's hyperbole. And then Vince Young goes and upstages him. Of course, there's that one play where I think Reggie, he had his I'm Keith Hernandez moment where he thought he was maybe even a little better than he needed to be when he tried to lateral, and that ends up biting him in the butt. So that game had everything.
And it was, I mean, that was a championship that was played before all of a sudden conferences started splitting up and we had conference title games. There was just something unique to the BCS championship game back then, and even more when the BCS championship game would be played as the bowl game. Like that was the Rose Bowl instead of the Rose Bowl's got the Rose Bowl and then they've got a playoff game or, a national championship game. That was the Rose Bowl. That was quite the setting, but it just seems, I mean, I like the playoff, but I don't know. There was something, I kind of went down nostalgic road last night watching that and that moment in that time in college football.
You know what else was happening? ESPN in like the early to mid 2000s, I know College Game Day has always been around and they've had football on, but they decided to saturate their coverage with it more around that time period where you started to see more like specific college programming, where they'd have special college football shows. And if you think about the attention that was on college football on networks like that, when USC was really good in the mid 2000s, mm-hmm. it was way more than it was when Nebraska was really good in the mid 90s. Like college football has always been a big deal, but you didn't get that, ESPN was very much about the pro sports when they would do their highlights and stuff a lot of the times, and the extra programming it felt like in the mid 90s. So I've always said it'd be interesting to see Nebraska get really good again now when college football is dissected on 24 hours, 7 days a week basis like it is in normal times these days. So I don't think Nebraska's been that good since the kind of change to that, and I've always been interested how that would be around here with that.
Yeah, and that was that game between Texas and USC was before social media really took off, and that was still when SportsCenter, the highlights were like the place to go to get this stuff, because you couldn't wake up the next morning and go to YouTube or your favorite website and find highlights of this game.
Yeah, I mean, they would show highlights, don't get me wrong, in the mid-90s and stuff, but it wasn't like on SportsCenter you'd get your 1 minute of highlights about a Nebraska football game, and that was sort of the mention of it, for a while. You wouldn't have like a half-hour college football show on a Tuesday afternoon necessarily dedicated to it, and they sort of started to change that at some places. And you're right, with social media, it would just be completely different than it was. We haven't seen Nebraska football elite when some of this new stuff that is part of our technology and how the sport is covered has been around. And so I've always been curious how that would look around here. And hopefully we see it someday soon.
BC, as always, we appreciate your time. Have a good and safe weekend.
Yep, thanks a lot. You too.
That's Brian Christopherson from Husker 24/7. Speaking of which, today is the 25th anniversary of ESPN.com. So the message board world, which around here, HuskerOnline.com, Red Sea Scrolls, immensely popular. But there used to be when ESPN.com, 25 years ago today, was birthed, you'd have some highlights, you'd have some articles, but more than, just be news. They had chat rooms. I don't spend time in chat rooms anymore. But when I was really starting to get into sports and working in this industry, I would spend a lot of time in chat rooms. And ESPN.com had all of these different sports chat rooms, and they had one of the best college football chat rooms. I met people from around the country in these chat rooms, but that was part of that added to ESPN.com. Okay, all of a sudden you have all this information. And ability to go get schedules and rosters and stories, and you can see pictures, and there was a little bit of video when they first started. But the ESPN.com college football chat room was fantastic. And then maybe 10, 15 years ago, maybe 10 years ago, they eliminated all of their chat rooms. But they were kind of the first before the rival sites all took off that have the really popular chat rooms now. But ESPN college football chat room, maybe we talked in those. My name was Gary Touchdown back in the day. Yeah. I bet I was at least in the first 1,000 people that posted on the ESPN.com college football chat rooms.
Wow.
Yeah, Gary Touchdown. I mean, I was there to get information and just to talk to people, and then I didn't realize that people were there to fight.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Oh. All right. We're not fighters. We're lovers on a Friday. We're going to talk some WrestleMania coming up at 12:30. We got two guests. We got 2 days of WrestleMania. George is bouncing off the wall. During breaks, George is performing his favorite wrestling move while we have social distancing. So we're going to break down WrestleMania like none other. Plus, more on what Dabo Swinney said today about what could happen with college football this year. And if you're a Denver Bronco fan, if you'll have football or not, the Denver Broncos may have violated an edict from Roger Goodell that you're supposed to remain optimistic. They told something to their season ticket holders that maybe went against what Roger Goodell would like, but I think is the smart thing to do if you're looking at it from how to take care of your ticket holders. We'll do all of that as we roll the last 2 hours on this Friday, the 3rd of April, on the Gary Sharp Show on 1620 The Zone, 1620 The Zone app. Hey, let's show the world what we're about by standing up and supporting our friends and neighbors. You've heard us talking about our love for Nebraska medicine and wearing red on Fridays to support our medical workers, all of us here at NRG Media. We have our red on. Well, we also need to support the businesses that are out there. They need us, but more importantly, we need them. They're good friends of you. They're good friends of NRG Media, including, could we use this for some right now, Next Gen Male Medical Clinic.